This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 43 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they just don't seem to listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP or platelet-rich plasma therapy, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
Hello. This is Marshall Morris, and today I am joined by Dr. Chad Edwards, who believes that 80% of medical recommendations are crap. Technically speaking here, he is the author of Revolutionize Your Health with Customized Supplements. He served in the U.S. Army. He graduated from medical school at Oklahoma State University. He's the founder of revolutionhealth.org and Against the Grain podcast. Dr. Edwards, how are you doing today?
Man, it's Friday. I'm excited to be here. I got a good weekend coming up. I'm getting ready to move. Things are good.
I love to hear that. So what are we talking about today in terms of the hot topic?
So today we're going to talk about a topic that actually came up at a talk that I was doing this morning, and we're going to talk about epidural steroid injections.
Oh, wow. So epidural steroid, ESIs?
ESIs, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay, cool. Walk me through it. Why is this a hot topic?
So patients, you know, common dogma for patients with low back pain, they've got pain, problems, you know, this kind of stuff, they're going to go to their doctor. They might get an MRI. They'll get sent to either a spine surgeon or something like that, you know, reviewed. Either they're a surgical candidate and they don't want surgery, or, you know, there's a whole host of different ways that they go to pain management, and they'll say, you know what, let's start with some ESIs. Let's start with an epidural steroid injection. So ultimately what we're talking about here is back pain, but epidural steroid injections is one of the ways that the pain management world will use to treat back pain.
Okay. So the underlying problem that maybe affects a bunch of our listeners is back pain.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So let's get into it. Why, what is like the dogma? Break it down for me.
Yeah. So, you know, the thought is that inflammation is the cause of a lot of pain. I can't disagree with that totally. But in this case, what we see is ligament and tendon damage as the source of many of these people's problems. So the concept, though, is that you've got an inflamed nerve root. So you've got something wrong with your back, you got a herniated disc, you got something, you got this nerve coming out of your back, and you know what? We're going to go in there and we're going to reduce your inflammation. And we're going to do that by doing an injection with lidocaine and with steroids. And it's usually something like triamcinolone or Kenalog. And we're going to inject that into your spine, into your back. That will numb it up a little bit because of the lidocaine, and it will reduce the inflammation because those steroids are anti-inflammatory. So the idea is that we're going to temporarily reduce your symptoms by giving you these steroids and lidocaine.
So quick question for my third grade mind here. How does lidocaine, or what is lidocaine?
Yeah, lidocaine is an anesthetic. So if you were going to go get a cavity filled, they're going to give you something like lidocaine, marcaine, one of those anesthetics, local anesthetics, that numbs up the tissue right around it.
Okay. And that's what people will do to reduce inflammation and make you kind of mask the pain a little bit. Is that right? Is that accurate or what?
Well, the lidocaine is just for the pain. Okay. That's it. It doesn't affect the inflammation.
Okay.
So the inflammation is being affected by the steroids.
Okay.
Now, you know, many patients they'll go in and they might get a lot of improvement. And what I generally, when patients get benefit, they'll come to me and they'll say, I had, you know, three or four or five or however many they've had. And they helped a whole lot right up front. And now they're just not helping me that much anymore. Sometimes they will continue to help. Sometimes they don't help at all. And there's a whole spectrum on how much it helps. My issue, though, we've talked about prolotherapy many times. We've talked about the underlying cause of pain in patients with back pain. We've done podcasts on MRIs. We've done podcasts on low back pain. So, you know, you can go back and reference in the early numbers, some of those podcasts and hear a little bit more about them. But the ligaments and tendons is the underlying pathology, not so much chronic inflammation, but the steroids, my issue with them is the main thing about them is that they are actually necrotic to the tissues. Necrosis means that it destroys it. It kills the tissue. So instead of having this ligament or tendon or these connective tissues that are, you know, thick, whatever, however, you know, they're a millimeter thick. I'm just pulling a number. Instead of having a millimeter thick, after you get a steroid, they may only be like 0.9 millimeters thick. So they're not as thick as they were before. It's not stronger. It's not healed. It's not thicker. It's not better. So why are we doing this?
Okay. So you go talk to, we'll say physicians in general. It's not maybe inherent to one physician or another, one type of specialty or another. It's just this thought process that steroids and lidocaine will solve the underlying root when really you're addressing the symptoms, maybe not what's causing the symptoms. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
So why do you think there's this widespread, you know, maybe illusion or understanding that this is how we treat low back pain or any kind of pain in this way?
Well, Zig Ziglar tells a story, and I think I've told this story before, but for those that have never heard this story before, Zig Ziglar tells a story about he won a ham, you know, one time, and he brought it home to his wife, and the first thing she did was cut the end off the ham, stick it in the pot, and go to roast it. And he's like, "Why did you cut the end off the ham?" And she said, "I don't know. That's what my mom always did. I guess we need to call her." So they called mom and said, "Why did you cut the end off the ham? Because that's what she's doing. And why, you know, she just wasted part of my ham." And she said, "Well, I don't know. That's what grandma always did." And they're like, "Well, let's get grandma on the phone." So they get grandma on the phone. And she said, they said, "Well, grandma, you know, we're cutting the end off this ham, and you always did that. Why did you do that?" And she said, "Well, I don't know why you're doing it, but my pan was too small." And the point of that story is that that was what was passed on. It's just, that's what you do. You have this, that's what you do. And when you are not a subject matter expert, and as a family physician, I was not a subject matter expert in low back pain. If someone had low back pain and I couldn't fix them with my standard stuff, I would send them to someone else. A subject matter expert would say, "I'm the one you send people to. You know, there is no one else to send me to, at least not in regard to this." So not being the subject matter expert, I see what my colleagues are doing and I'm going to do that. In fact, you know, a lot of you may, you know, our listeners may be aware of the term standard of care. You know, what's the standard of care for treating a cold? What's the standard of care for this? Standard of care simply means all of the other physicians in your area, or, you know, most of the other physicians in your area, what are they doing? It's peer pressure. It's the classic, well, if, you know, your mom asking you, "Well, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge?" In this case, the answer is yes, because that's what standard of care means. And it, when you think about it, it's really kind of ridiculous. I understand why they do it, why there is a standard of care. And if you're outside of the standard of care, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but boy, you better know what you're doing. You better know that you're safe, because the medical board does this to protect patients. So as long as you're working in the interest of your patient and you're doing something that's not harmful, you don't necessarily have to do the same thing that all of your colleagues are doing, especially when it's backed by evidence. Because what if all of your colleagues are wrong? And in some cases, that's the way it is. So epidural steroid injections, when I, as a family doc, would send, you know, if you came to me with low back pain, I had a few things that I would do. Well, in fact, when I was at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, we had a back class. I would send a patient to the back class. In physical therapy, the physical therapists ran a class once a week, once a month. I don't remember how frequent, but I remember going to this class as part of my residency. And they were having to sit there and listen to how low back pain came up, and here's some exercise that you can do. I mean, it was not a bad idea, and they were able to help some people, but it wasn't fixing ligament tendon problems. And I would argue that it didn't fix that many people's low back pain, although it can help strengthen the back a little bit. So if I couldn't fix you with that, then I'm going to go get an MRI. And depending on what that shows, then I'm going to send you to an orthopedic surgeon. Even if your MRI is normal, At some point, I'm going to be like, well, I don't have anything else for you, so I'll either send you to pain management or an orthopedic surgeon. That's all I had.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what everybody else did. I want to be as smart as that guy, so that's what I'm going to do without really thinking through what is it that I'm doing.
Sure, the process of it.
Right.
So for these ESIs, what is, you know, in terms of the treatment and just the nature of it, how does that go? What is typically the healing process for that, or what is functionally happening with these ESIs?
Yeah, so basically you go into your doctor, they say, we're going to do an ESI. They're going to do an injection into your spine, into what's called the epidural space. And that it just has to do with the spinal, not cord, but the spinal canal and the lining of the spinal cord, these things called the meninges. And there's a space called the epidural space. It's outside the dura, was one of the meninges. And there's this little space, and we'll stick a needle in there and we'll inject these solutions, the steroids and the lidocaine, into this space, and it will kind of diffuse through there, numb that space up, and be anti-inflammatory, reduce inflammation. Again, some patients get really good benefit from that for a short period of time. Some patients do not. If you find the right problem and treat it with the right solution, it's going to work. The problem is that many patients that I see don't have an epidural problem, or they don't have a nerve problem in the way that epidural injections would help. The second piece is that because these things are temporary, they don't fix anything, we're going to give you an epidural steroid injection. I've never heard a physician, maybe there are some out there, but I've never heard a physician tell a patient, we're going to give you three of these things and your back pain is going to be cured. You're going to be done. You're going to be good. You're never going to need this again. It's not how it works. We're going to give you an injection and hopefully your pain gets better for, you know, a few weeks, a few months, maybe a year. And then when it comes back, come back and see us again. We'll do another epidural steroid injection. You're just giving injections to treat the pain. And it's not fixing the underlying solution.
Sure. Well, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break. And when we come back, talk a little bit about maybe an alternative to these ESIs and what you can do about it.
Perfect. Let's do it. Vertical Limit Fitness constantly strives for better. Better mind, function, fitness, capacity, and community. They accomplish this through bodyweight boot camp style classes and high intensity functional fitness classes. From group classes to private training, Vertical Limit Fitness elevates your health and wellness while helping you become able to do anything and prepare you for everything that life may bring along. Call 918-409-1633 or visit their website at www.verticallimitfitness.com for more information and to sign up for a week of classes.
Okay, and we are back. We're joined today with Dr. Chad Edwards, and we're talking about epidural steroid injections and really what they mean and why they have become a standard, but maybe not the best standard for a lot of patients, or why maybe there's other alternatives. So why don't you walk us through, Dr. Edwards, maybe what patients are a good candidate for epidural steroid injections and why that isn't just everybody that has pain. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing, it's not beneficial for everyone that has pain because these things have risks. One, we're sticking a needle into the spine, into the spinal column. Two, we're injecting steroids. Steroids are anti-inflammatory, which I would argue is not the best thing for many of these kinds of pain patients.
And if you want to learn more about inflammation, we talked about that on one of the most recent episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome.
Yeah, good point. The other piece with this is that steroids, they suppress the immune system and they're necrotic to the tissues. So we don't want to just throw steroids at everything under the sun because we want to heal, and you can't under chronic steroids. I mean, you're not going to be optimally healthy. It's just not going to happen. So who would be a good candidate for an epidural steroid injection? Common patients that would get this procedure would be patients that have pain in their neck, low back, arm, or leg, that or this sciatica type pain. So if you've got sciatica, they may look at doing an epidural steroid injection. And specific conditions that patients may have would include things like spinal stenosis. It's where the canal of the spinal column, the cord basically, is compressed or narrowed. There's not as much room there. Spondylolysis, that's where one vertebrae on top of the other slides forward. And that can cause a problem. And that mainly happens in the L4, L5, L5S1 low back region. Herniated discs. We've talked about herniated discs before. If you have a herniated disc, they may recommend an epidural steroid injection. And then sciatica. And sciatica is really a catch-all. It's a catch-all term for any pain that goes down the back of your leg almost. But if they can attribute that to the sciatic nerve and a nerve root impingement from the spinal column, then they may recommend an epidural steroid injection for that as well.
Okay, so these are a few cases where it might be appropriate for an epidural steroid injection. What are some of the cases where it might not be appropriate?
Well, anyone wanting to get better.
Okay, so walk me through that process.
So, you know, again, one of our focuses with AgainstTheGrainPodcast.com and at Revolution Health, one of our primary processes is to help patients get better, get it to where you don't need epidural steroid injections, get it to where you don't need repeated injections in your back, and you don't even need prolotherapy. We want to strengthen these tissues. So, you know, we did a podcast on MRI and how MRIs are a great way to get surgery if that's what you want. And we talked about how studies have been done showing a high incident finding or incident rate of abnormal findings on an MRI, even when the patient had no previous pain and no injury. So we can have abnormal MRIs in normal patients. So how many patients are out there walking around with problems on their MRI that have just never had an MRI, but they don't have pain? So I would argue that a lot of these conditions don't need epidural steroid injections either. My blanket statement for this is I would only recommend an epidural steroid injection when you failed prolotherapy. Mm. If you failed PRP and or stem cell, when you haven't gotten success with those things, then I would consider something like an epidural and steroid injection that has much higher risks, much higher concerns, is a temporizing measure, doesn't fix you when you have no other options. That's when I would recommend this.
So we've heard you talk about prolotherapy before, and so we have a couple of episodes on that. But what it sounds like is prolotherapy is more of a treatment to fix the underlying problem, and this epidural steroid injections is a way to mask or postpone addressing the problem. And I'm sure could be scenarios for needing to do that. But with the non-invasive nature, or maybe non-invasive isn't the right word, of prolotherapy,
low risk nature
of prolotherapy, there really doesn't seem like there'd be any reasons why you shouldn't try it, at least, because it's not going to hurt you in the long term anyways.
That's exactly right. And again, when you go back to that underlying thing, what are the risks? What are the benefits? C. Everett Koop, former Surgeon General of the United States, in the 1980s, said the nice thing about prolotherapy, if properly done, is that it cannot do any harm. No one's ever said that about an epidural steroid injection. No one has ever told a patient, don't worry about it, this can't do any harm. And the head physician in the United States in the 1980s just gave his stamp of approval on prolotherapy. Not just, but with a statement like that, this is risk, no risk. What are you going to do? I mean, it makes no sense to me why someone wouldn't consider prolotherapy. Now, I had a good friend of mine came in for, he actually had a foot drop. So a foot drop means, you know, when you stand on your heels and you pull your toes up and kind of walk on your heels. On his left foot, he was not able to stand on his heel and keep his toes up. Every time he tried to do that on just the one leg, his foot fell. So he lost strength in his lower extremity. So he was concerned that he had nerve damage in his low back. And I believe he even got an MRI, and it said there's a little bit of concern for some nerve compression here. He thought that he had an issue, that the only way he was going to get better was surgery. And I told him, I said, you know, you can consider that path. I'm not going to dissuade you from doing that. However, I would strongly recommend that you look at doing something like prolotherapy first. We're not going to screw it up. We're not going to make this worse. Maybe we can fix it. And he was like, okay, let's do it. So he comes in, we do his injections. He stood up and said, you know, I do feel like I mean, it feels definitely better, but he still didn't have that strength restored. I understand prolotherapy fairly well, and I told him, you know, this is going to take some time for this part to resolve. So we'll just have to watch closely and carefully, but I think we'll have good success with this. So let's just, you know, watch this and let's see how you do. He came back 4 weeks later for a follow-up injection, and he didn't really want to get injections because he was like, those things hurt. They weren't comfortable. But he was so excited about how well he was doing that he came back for another round. And I said, okay, so how are we doing? He's like, it's gone. And I said, you have no more symptoms. Your foot's good. He's like, no, I'm good. So he stood up, and he stood on the one leg on his heel, and he lifted his toes up, and he was able to hold him up right there. And I said, well, then we don't need to do this. We don't need to do another round. And he said, we don't need to? And of course, he was very excited that he didn't have to get another round of prolotherapy. And I said, no, why would we do that? Your symptoms, the reason you came to me to begin with is because of this symptom. The symptom's gone. We're done. We don't have to do anything else. And he actually told me, he said, if it hadn't been me and the fact that he knows me and trusts me, he never would have done it because he didn't believe that injections in the area where we were doing them could fix this symptom. He didn't believe it. And Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Luke is trying to raise the X-Wing out of the Dagobah swamp and holding his hand out there, and it kind of bubbles a little bit, and he says, I can't do it, it's too big, and Yoda comes over and does it and lifts it up and sets it down, and Luke says, I don't believe it, and Yoda says, that is why you fail.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, especially with this scenario, and I'm sure other scenarios as well, was there a cost savings piece to prolotherapy over going in and getting invasive surgery for that?
Oh, invasive surgery, without question. Now, the problem is that, of course, you know, in my clinic, we don't take insurance, but insurance doesn't cover prolotherapy. Even still, the procedure is so much less expensive than when you factor in copays, time off work, physical therapy, copays with physical therapy, prescriptions, prescription copays, not even counting the risks and all of those kinds of things. It's still most likely cheaper. But sometimes patients just have it in their head and they'll say, the surgery's covered, they'll pay for my surgery, they won't pay for prolotherapy, I'm going to do surgery. Then I'm like, yeah, but your copay on your surgery is like $10,000. I mean, I can save you thousands of dollars. And they're like, well, insurance will cover that. I mean, it's asinine. It's ludicrous. Or as we like to say, it's bull crap.
It's bull crap. So, Dr. Edwards, I appreciate you sharing this with us today. Any closing thoughts about epidural steroid injections and alternatives to it?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is look at the underlying cause. Why are you having pain? Is there another solution? Prolotherapy is fantastic. It's safe. It's beneficial. It's cost effective. I would without question recommend nearly every patient exhaust a course of prolotherapy before I would recommend them getting an epidural steroid injection.
Boom. Dr. Edwards, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Marshall. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.